Well, it is wonderful to be with you for the first time on a Sunday morning, even though Susan and I have been here a couple of times. Obviously, we were here on Tuesday, and we were here for your roast beef dinner last month. And it was so wonderful to see the congregation all working together on that day that was such an incredible success. We were talking earlier with the children about the feeding of the 5,000, but I didn't know that you people were trying to break the record that day. And I also want to say how grateful I am to everyone at Holy Trinity for hosting such a wonderful and meaningful service of induction last Tuesday evening. The choir, the music, the worship, the hospitality, and the reception afterwards, and everything in between was absolutely fantastic. I know that there were so many people involved in making this the incredible event that it was, and I want to say to all of you, thank you so very, very much. I've been to the grocery store and a few other places in Barry's Bay, and the people over there, they're just so excited about it all. And to have the opportunity for them, I think we had about 85% of the congregation here on Tuesday night, and they still are talking about it. It meant so much to them to be able to participate in such a glorious and large service. When you have the primate of the Anglican Church of Canada and our diocesan bishop in attendance, you just hope and pray that everything will go as well as possible. And I have to tell you that everything exceeded our hopes and prayers. And Archbishop Fred and Bishop John were both deeply moved and very impressed with everything they experienced. And they wanted me to pass that message on to you this morning. For me, it was a defining moment for us as a parish. It seemed to me that while we have experienced a period of decline in this region as an Anglican church, certainly that is true for the churches I have weekly responsibility for, last Tuesday night we stood together and said that this is where we draw the line. This is where we said, enough is enough. We have taken a major leap of faith for the sake of the gospel and for a renewed and invigorated Anglican presence in the Pembroke Deanery. On that night, we bore witness to the fact that we are stronger together, and we set off on a journey that will take us from a position of merely trying to survive as a church to a place of empowerment. As we proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ in this 21st century. Our gospel lesson today for me is one of the richest and most meaningful stories in the gospel record. As Jesus encounters the blind beggar Bartimaeus, who cries out to Jesus from the side of the road, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Some of those in the crowd that had gathered there tried to keep him quiet, but he cried out all the more. And Jesus, hearing his cries, takes pity on someone who is homeless and disabled and living in poverty and asks that he be brought forward. With the simple phrase, "Go, your faith has made you well," the miracle of healing takes place, and not only has this poor man received his sight, but in fact, his whole life has just been transformed. What I think we need to take note of as we explore this passage further is that it comes right on the heels of the account of the passage we heard last Sunday, as the request is made by the disciples, James and John to sit at the right and the left hand of Jesus. A request to sit in the places of honor with Jesus when he comes in his glory. With such a blatant example of the disciples' misunderstanding of what it means to be a disciple, this story of Bartimaeus, which follows, becomes an important lesson for us in what it means to be a true follower of Jesus Christ. Writing in the Christian Century, Phyllis Kirsten states that Mark's choice of the words about Bartimaeus after he is healed, about Bartimaeus following Jesus on the way, is not accidental. The next scene in Mark's gospel is Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. But we know that to follow Jesus on the way primarily means to follow Jesus on the way to the cross. Mark is clearly identifying Bartimaeus as a disciple. And in what he does in this encounter with Jesus tells us everything we need to know about being a disciple of Jesus here in this Pembroke Deanery. The most miraculous and powerful moment in this story is one that is often overlooked. A simple gesture, but one that speaks volumes. And they called to the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So, throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Some commentators have suggested that Bartimaeus was so excited to be called forward that he tossed off his coat in haste. But I believe there is more to this incident than just a sudden impulse. By adding this one extra line about his cloak, about the poor man throwing off his cloak, a detail, by the way, that the other gospel writers omit, Mark is trying to tell us something profound about the act of following our Lord. This coat would have been one of the poor man's few possessions. And for someone living on the street, that cloak would have stood between him and all of the elements on many a night. He would probably have needed and counted on it for his very survival. And so Bartimaeus wasn't just casually strolling over to see if by any chance there was anything that Jesus could do for him. In that one simple act of throwing down his cloak, he was taking a leap of faith. A leap of faith. And he went to Jesus with total and complete confidence that in this encounter, his tragic life would never be the same again. During my time as Bishop of Niagara, Susan and I had the opportunity to make 4 trips to Africa. And in Tanzania, we had the incredible experience of going on safari for a day. One of the many animals we saw on that trip was the African impala, a member of the antelope family. The impala is able to jump a height of almost 10 feet in the air and can cover a distance of greater than 30 feet in just one leap. One would think that given those kinds of abilities, it would be impossible to keep these magnificent creatures in a zoo. It would stand to reason that the cost of building an enclosure high enough would be too prohibitive. And yet I am told that you can see these animals in almost every large zoo around the world. And in every case, the wall that is used to pen them in never exceeds 3 feet in height. The reason for this is that the impala will not jump unless it can see where its feet will land. And so, as long as this much shorter wall impedes their sight line on the other side, they will never make that jump. All that stands between captivity and freedom for the impala, all that is holding them back from a whole new way of life, is a leap of faith. And that is something they are unwilling to do. Making a leap of faith involves committing oneself in trust to a course of action without seeing clearly the way ahead. A leap of faith will often take us into uncharted waters and well outside our comfort zones. But when it comes to our relationship with God, just as Bartimaeus showed us, our membership in the body of Christ, it is when we can take a leap of faith that we can lead to new heights on the road to healing, wholeness, to freedom, and to peace. It seems to me that in whatever way we exercise our discipleship in the church, whatever ministry and task we perform, we have to be prepared to take on some responsibilities, and sometimes we need to be prepared to let some things go. We need to have the courage to move outside our comfort zones and to take those difficult leaps of faith that allow us to be the bearers of God's hope and love and peace in the world that we are called to serve. I want to thank each and every one of you for the ways that you have been willing to join with our clergy team and our members across the parish of the valley in a leap of faith. As we explore this new model for ministry, it is a new and exciting path to a renewed and emboldened future for this congregation and for the Anglican Church across this Pembroke Deanery. And so, throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to the Lord. Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Amen.